3 o'clock, Friday edition of the Gym Class to close out the week right here on KGYM. Coming up, we are going to talk Iowa State football. Rob Gray of CycloneFanatic.com will stop by. And Iowa State had their media day yesterday, and we will kick that around. Iowa has their football media day coming up tomorrow. We will look forward to that. We'll talk a little bit of golf with you and a little bit of baseball as well on this Friday. So stick and stay. It is the Friday edition of the Gym Class, KGYM. Mark's perusing scores. We welcome you in to the Gym Class, KGYM, on this Friday. It's warmer now. Not a bad day outside. It's windy. It's about a 2.5 club wind. Scott Unash alongside Mark Dukes, Kyle Mann, Cross the Glass, our producer here for the Friday edition of the program. This will take you through the 3 o'clock hour here on 1600 AM, the historic main gym, the North Gym, 107.5 FM in Cedar Rapids, and 106.3 FM, the South Gym, down in Iowa City. We've got Twins baseball coming up later on tonight. Twins and the Texas Rangers coming your way at 7 o'clock. Hope everybody enjoyed the start of the football campaign last night, the annual Hall of Fame game between the Dallas Cowboys and the Arizona Cardinals. And I know Arizona was leading 18-17. I have no idea how it came out, but
Dallas won 20-18.
Did they? Okay. Yeah. Dallas won 20-18. I caught it on the way home. I was out at the ballpark last night. It was guys' night with myself and Todd at Tommy Brommelkamp.
Nice.
Last night. So, and Mr. Johnson up in the box. So we had a good time watching Mr. Watson last night. It was pretty good for four innings, and then the fifth inning kind of hit a wall a little bit in his first start in the Minnesota Twins organization.
Yeah, that's Tyler Watson, who came over in the Brandon Kinsler trade from the Washington Nationals, and I know the Colonels are hopeful, and he is hopeful that his performances will help down the stretch and into the playoffs for the Cedar Rapids Colonels.
Yeah, because that is around the corner, those playoffs. And the Colonels are going to meet the Kane County Cougars in the first round. These are two diversely different teams from where they were.
Which is usually the case.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. Because you have call-ups, you have injuries, whatever the case may be, and they're not the same teams that were trotted out in mid-April. But still, they should do all right there. If you want to weigh in, love to hear from you. 319-366-1600. That is the Jerry Ask Investment Services text line. Also, you can reach us via the phone lines at 319-366-1600. We're going to talk Iowa State football, maybe a little bit of Iowa State basketball as well, as we mentioned, coming up in just a little bit. And also, we didn't put this out as a Friday topic or anything like that, but it is it's a somewhat notable baseball anniversary today. And maybe we'll kick around memories of our top, I'm not going to say favorite because the topic doesn't deserve the term favorite, but maybe top associated things with the topic that we'll have coming up in just a little bit. Did that make any sense at all to you?
Think 1993.
And it has nothing to do with Conor McGregor or Marion Mayweather.
Oh, I might have.
Well, I guess you're right. I guess you're right out there. 319-366-1600, the Jerry Ask Investment Services text line. We got afternoon baseball. The Nationals leading the Cubs right now, 3-0. Murphy with two home runs after Paul Goldschmidt hit three yesterday in Wrigley Field. And the Nationals, who will be without Max Scherzer and Gio Gonzalez, they are both going to skip the starts against the Chicago Cubs this weekend. So Roark out there right now doing well for the Washington Nationals.
It's convenient for the Cubs, huh?
You don't want to face those two guys, that's for sure. But Roark doing a very good job for Washington right now. We also have golf going on, both locally and in Ohio at Firestone Country Club in Akron, Ohio. They've been battling Mother Nature. We thought it would come in last night. It actually came in today. So they've been under rain delay, lightning delay, inclement weather delay for about the last 4 hours or so.
Yeah, in the midst of a second delay, the round started with about a 40-45 minute delay, and as you said, in a weather delay right now. And I'm not sure Zach Johnson liked that because he was really on a roll, and perhaps he'll be able to complete his second round in the same fashion. But Zach Johnson currently tied for third in the tournament. He's, three under par on his round, playing the long par 5, 16th. He's in the middle of fairway and will hit his second shot when play resumes. Right now, Zach minus four for the tournament. He's only one shot behind the leaders, Jimmy Walker and Thomas Peters, who obviously are still on the course as well. Jason Day with a nice round going, 5 under par on his front nine. So should that resume, we'll update you as to Zach's progress, but doing quite well right now at tied for third.
Probably not going to get that second round done today. This is a no-cut event, about 80, or is it less than that?
About 75, 76 players, yeah.
76, okay. So everybody gets to play the weekend. So if they have to play tomorrow morning, they'll certainly get it in without any problems out there. We do have golf locally as well. The City Am going on, the Senior City Am going on. Final round of the Pribble as well that took place at Elmcrest earlier on today. That for the high schoolers out there and middle schoolers as well, and do have champions as far as the Pribble is concerned. Alex Slattery is the 2017 champion. He shot a 299 at a 74 at Elmcrest today. Connor Neighbors finishes up in second with a 303. Karpik finishes up in third, and Peterson was your novice winner in the Pribble today.
Very good playing, and it bodes well for Washington Golf. As I think the top two are from that Washington team, right?
Denny may have had a smile on his face as he called in the results.
Yeah,
I'm just saying.
You mentioned the City Amateur and the men's City Amateur, the men's Senior City Amateur being played today. Also, the Iowa City men's Amateur being played this weekend as well. Scott, you're up at 6:15. What did that look like?
Some sun. Very cool. There was a wind chill this morning on my phone. It said 48.
Sky Unash
had to unpack the sleeves and the wind pants today.
Scott Unash playing in the Senior Open with
does everyone want to emphasize that word?
The very first group off the tee at Twin Pines. And Scott played very well for 17 holes.
We'll talk about 17 holes as long as you want to.
But a nice 76. Currently tied for ninth as half the field still not reported. So the low 20 after tomorrow's round at Ellis Park will go on to the third and final round. That also will be played at Ellis Park. So, and our friend Rick Swan from Rob FM, he is also competing. You know, the three of us play a lot of weekends, right?
Yeah.
And I like to take an ounce of credit for giving you guys a lot of confidence, but I can't do that. I'm not far behind except from my commitment, right?
Correct.
You've seen me play.
Yeah.
Maybe next year.
Maybe.
But nice opening round.
Well, he's got nine in, and he let us know he was three over.
Yeah, 39.
39 on the front, so hopefully he'll bring it home.
That'd be great.
And right now, the Senior Open division, Jerry Johnson at 1 under par 70 today. He's the leader. Three-way tie for second, Frank Gaffney, Craig Furnish, and Guy Smith, also 70, all had 73. Todd Hinchin had a 74 along with Jim McPartland and Rich Patterson. And then Clark Hayda, Cam Moline with Clark had a 75. Cam Moline and myself, 76. Got to play with Colin Williams and Scott Carnes and Bill Merritt today. We all shot decent golf today. So that's great to see. And like I said, half the field's still out there.
Yeah, there's four divisions in this tournament. The Super Senior and the Silver Senior are already done for the day. And the Super Senior, what's that age group? Is that?
I have no idea.
Okay.
I'm not there.
Older guys who play good golf. Let's put it that way.
Two of them, anyway.
Two players under par. Mark Hathaway with a 2-under par 69. Craig Goetz with a 1-under par 70. Bob Poundstone, even par 71. To be truthful, they play tees up, but
that's fine.
You still got to play. You still got to play, man. But nice rounds by those three guys. They'll be on the course again tomorrow. Jack Peacock leading the silver senior division. He shot even par 71. He's three up on Dan Malloy. Also in the super senior division, play still going on right there. John Darth with a three-stroke lead right now over Pat Decker. Darth shot two over par 73. We'll give you updates on the men's city amateur, the first round being played at Ellis Park. I don't know. I know it's windy out there, but scores not all too great, except for Matt Taylor.
Yeah.
He shot a 2-under par 70. He's the leader in the clubhouse. Two up on Kevin Ault and Jordan Even. They shot, coincidentally, even par on the day. Jabe Gonder, the Big Shoes grandson.
That is correct. That's Carl's son.
Tied for fourth right now with a 74. So, again, a lot of players still out on the course in that tournament. So, we don't have any results right now from the Iowa City amateur, but a lot of good players in that event as well.
Oh, yeah. A lot of good players out there as well. So, a little bit of a coolish start to the day for golf.
But refreshing.
Well, it was a little bit more than refreshing. August, I had to look calendar twice. August 4th, and I look like I wasn't dressed as warmly as we were when we played in February.
Is that right?
I had less clothes on then for our February round that we had out at St. Andrews. But good luck to everybody out there. A lot of fun, and hopefully everybody will play well. It'll come down to Ellis. It always does.
Yeah, playing the final two rounds in the senior event anyway, both at Ellis Park. You mentioned media days, and we'll talk to Rob Gray here in a short period of time about Iowa State's media day yesterday, tomorrow, Iowa media day. And that's the subject of our poll question at KGYMradio.com. What is Iowa's biggest concern heading into 2017? We give you five choices: finding a starting quarterback, replacing Desmond King, adapting to a new offensive coordinator, depth at the receiver position, or special teams. Go ahead and vote at KGYMradio.com. And thanks to Emil's Hideaway, as always, out there on First Avenue Southeast in Cedar Rapids, next to Home Depot and behind Taco John's.
I think, can you just say a big old yes to all of that? I mean, that's a tough grouping to try to pick from.
Well, it is. And I guess if I'd have to choose...
I'd go with wide receivers.
Probably wide receiver. We've got the graduate transfer coming in who you would hope would help.
Yeah.
And but not a lot else in terms of known quantities. Matt Vandenberg coming back, that's a big plus. Can he stay healthy? We shall see.
Yeah. So go ahead and vote, KGYMradio.com. Thanks to Emil's Hideaway for helping us out with that. 17 minutes past the hour of 3 o'clock here on the Friday edition of the Gym Class on KGYM. We'll be followed by the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn. They are in Iowa City for the KGYM road trip, and it is driven by Linder Tire Service. Linder Tire keeps you rolling during all your road trips this summer. They're committed to provide customers safe travel, I should say, on quality tires. Find a tire for all seasons at Linder Tire. They are down at the Coach's Corner Sports Pub in Iowa City, 749 Mormon Trek Boulevard in the Walden Square, right next to the fairway down there. And they're having a big West High football get-together tonight.
They are indeed. 319-366-1600 is our phone line. Kyle Mann across the glass, manning the phones. That's also our text line. Jerry K. Ask Investment Services text line. Go to jkainvest.com. Ryan from Walford weighing in. When I walked out to my car this morning, I almost stopped at the gas station, bought a 30-pack of Busch Light, and drove to Kinnick Stadium instead of work. Good luck tomorrow, Scott.
Thank you, Ryan. Appreciate that.
55-94, I'd say all of it, but wide receiver is definitely a concern.
Yes. Yep. And it will be until you need more than one. I mean, Matt Vandenberg is back, obviously. Coral's coming in from New Mexico. Can he pick up the slack? Are we going to see slot receivers? Are we going to see Akram Wadley in the slot? Are we going to see two tight ends? Could we see three tight ends? No, we're going to see two tight ends at times. So creativity, I think, is going to be the watchword at times, I think, for Brian Ferentz. And I'm okay with that. I'm okay with that.
What about that 14th hole today?
No. Not going to talk about the 14th hole. Or Nomo. Or pulled long irons or anything.
You're going to go to playcedarrapidsgolf.com and get the hole-by-hole results from Mr. Unanz.
But there's no stroke-by-stroke, though, because that would have been an ugly-looking little diagram for that hole.
Text me and I'll tell you.
All right. 19 past 3. We will take a break and come back, and we'll catch up with Rob Gray of Cyclone Fanatic and talk about Iowa State Media Day from yesterday. We'll do it when we come back here on the Friday edition of the Gym Class on KGYM.
On every job site, the formula is the same. Less downtime equals more profit. Reduce that downtime with top-notch machinery from Star Equipment, like the JLG engine-powered boom lifts that will make those hard-to-reach jobs a breeze. These units are equipped with sky power so you can run equipment in the air. And for the greatest horizontal reach, a telescopic boom lift will put you right where you need to be. Rent or buy from Star Equipment and improve your job site profits. Star Equipment, Iowa born in 1968. StarEquip.com.
Don't put off your paving project any longer. Cooler weather will be here sooner than you think. Pate Asphalt handles commercial parking lots, roadways, and your very own driveway. Serving the area for over 30 years, Pate Asphalt has decades of experience. Make your parking lot, roadway, and driveway look great. Pave it to last with Pate Asphalt. See them at pateasphalt.com.
It's only 34 days until the NFL kicks off the 2017 season. Don't miss a minute of the action. Get NFL Red Zone from NFL Network now. Every game, Sunday, Monday, and Thursday. NFL Red Zone from NFL Network is available on Mediacom. Call 855-MEDIACOM to order now.
Two hosts born and raised in Eastern Iowa, talking Eastern Iowa sports. Scott Unash and Mark Dukes on the Gym Class, KGYM.
Friday edition of the Gym Class, rolling along at 21 past 3 here on KGYM. We'll talk a little bit more about our poll question and the Hawks coming up here. Their media day coming up tomorrow. We'll also hit a little bit of baseball history on this day. We will do that coming up in a little bit. We're going to talk Iowa State football and maybe a little bit of basketball as well. Rob Gray, CycloneFanatic.com, was in Ames and... He took part in Media Day yesterday over at the Bergstrom Center. And Rob, how are you? How was the summer, man?
I'm doing okay. For me, the summer is always filled with lots of fun and frivolity and repose. So, a few stories here and there. I do our Wear It and Now series on a monthly basis with Cyclone Fanatic. But a lot of fun, restfulness, and active rest, too. So ready to get back into it.
What was your take on Media Day yesterday, Rob?
Well, I mean... I think everything's trending in the right direction there, but I think that's also something we could have thought is possible the last few years, and it hasn't borne itself out. There's a vibe, there's a swagger, there's a confidence that, you know, I think this team really believes it can get back to a bowl game, but that's not what they're going to talk about. They're going to talk about just winning games, trusting the process, which is a Campbell cliche. Many coaches talk about the process, but... you know, everyone seems bought into it, so a lot of excitement surrounding that day and the start of fall camp.
Number one story yesterday, was it Joel Lanning and the move from quarterback to linebacker?
I think since we've known that during the spring and talked about that in the spring, it's not so much, although I did write about it because they're having a little bit of fun with whether he or top returning tackler Willie Harvey, who he'll play alongside, presumably, if he... Day's number one at Mike linebacker. We'll get to number seven, but just a lot of good storylines. I thought one thing that was really interesting, Campbell was asked the ubiquitous, you know, how important is it to get back to a bowl game? You know, first time since 2012, it's been three wins, two wins, three wins, three wins. Obviously, it's important, but he gave a really long answer, and it culminated but I'll paraphrase it more or less, you know, six wins, is that what we're about? Not me, not us. You know, we want to win every game. And he said he actually despises the question about getting to six wins. So I guess it's a good mentality to have. They're setting the bar high, and if they fall short, they fall short. But they're not going to. It's not going to be because of lack of trying.
In regards to Lanning, it's been intimated that he may see some time on offense. What role do you think?
I would assume he would be a short yardage type of runner, but they could use him in decoy situations. I could see them put together a wildcat package, presumably, where you snap it to the tailback. Good group of tailbacks. David Montgomery wrested the job from 1,300-yard rusher Mike Warren a year ago, but both those guys are saying and doing all the right things, so they think they have a good 1-2 punch there. But Campbell said Lanning definitely will play on offense. So it's a good question as to in what capacity, but I would certainly see that short yardage or red zone situation is the most likely.
Jacob Park, though, is the quarterback for most of the snaps anyway, and he assumed that role at the end of the 2016 season anyway. And I think the sky's the limit for this young man. I really think he can bust out this year now that the job is his.
Yeah, and he, you talk about confidence or brashness or audacity. He was asked, first of all, he's a great conversationalist. You never know what he's going to say. He's a very intriguing individual. We know the route. You know, he started at Georgia, was a coveted four-star recruit. Other big-time schools wanted him. Coaching change at Georgia never really caught on. Goes JUCO, doesn't really play, so he retains more eligibility. And Campbell and staff end up finding him. But 12 touchdowns, 5 picks last year, and essentially, if you add it all up, like 5 starts with an asterisk. And he finally said after he said he didn't want to put any numbers on it, he said he was talking to his brother, and he thinks he said he wanted to throw for 36 touchdowns, 5 interceptions, and 4,000 yards, which I guess we can start the Heisman for Park campaign right there. But, hey, again, I guess you want guys to be bold. You want them to shoot for the moon, and those are his goals. God bless him.
As you know, Rob, this team needs to get better on defense, especially against the run, allowing more than 200 yards a game on the ground. What are the prospects there in terms of personnel?
Well, there's some intriguing aspects to the defensive line, which is always a huge question mark at Iowa State and a lot of schools that aren't your perennial top 20, top 25 schools where they can really build depth there. But you got Brunell Trent back. He's got a lot of experience. Jaquan Bailey got playing time as a true freshman last year. They really like Ray Lima, who's a highly touted JUCO they brought in, got here in the spring. And J.J. Wagner, who got hurt, is a kind of like a motor guy at the other end. And Jaquan Bailey's kind of a fast rushing or Leo type end. So it has to start there. But if Lanning can successfully transition, bring your football smarts and IQ, and he's one of the greatest, better athletes on the team. Willie Harvey is Willie Harvey. He had 3 sacks last year in addition to being the leading returning tackler. And they feel like they can go with 3 linebackers. They went 4-2-5 last year. Right now they're listing 4-3-4. And if they can do that, you feel you've got more bodies up front. It can slow down that run game so it's not Kamari Cotton-Moya, Brian Peavy, DeAndre Payne to put the running back on his butt after a 15-20-yard game.
Rob Gray joining us from CycloneFanatic.com, talking Iowa State Media Day from yesterday over in Ames here at 327. I don't know if it's overlooked or anything like that. I know that people have been talking about it, maybe not as much as they should. Cole Netton was a terrific kicker for Iowa State, made some clutch kicks. He is not there anymore, and it sounds like another senior is going to be taking over some very big shoes for Iowa State.
Yeah, Garrett Owens, the guy they brought in, a grad transfer, I believe, out of Oregon State. Campbell raved about him yesterday, his ethic and his leg. Chris Francis was a above-average kickoff guy last year, having the stronger, just let-it-all-hang-out leg, maybe, than Netton, who was so precise as you aptly noted, in terms of field goal accuracy. But I think they feel that they're pretty stable there. With Owens coming in, he's got some experience, kind of a last chance situation. And, Netton was one of the all-time leading scorers there in that degree. And Mabel had a big kick, as you said, the kick at Iowa 3 years ago or whatever, and a few other kicks. So that is a question mark, but I think they like Owens quite a bit.
On offense, man, Alan Lazard is such a terrific player, and you've got a pretty good group of wide receivers, that will play and not necessarily allow defenses to zero in on Lazard, but you'd expect a big year out of this kid, wouldn't you?
Yeah, I think so, and I'm not even sure. I think in Alan Lazard's mind, given his demeanor and his feeling toward Iowa State, his pride in being a legacy player at Iowa State. His brother was on the team, too, in the past. I think a big year to him is if they actually have a good season and go and win a bowl game. But, yeah, over 1,000 yards last year, really started to become a few games, some uncharacteristic drops, but his hands are great, generally speaking. He doesn't have maybe that high-end speed, but he does have – he runs the routes perfectly and can separate and can physically dominate corners and some other safeties who might be on him. So I would think a big year for him, but Deshante Jones had a breakthrough year as a true freshman last year. Trevor Ryan, the former track guy, you and I still running track at Iowa State, he's in the mix of slot with Deshante Jones. And then he got big guys like Akeem Butler, 6'6". Marcy Murdoch came from Illinois. They really liked him in the spring and summer and early part of fall. And a lot of names. Carson Epps had a catch of over 50 yards last year. Matt Eaton, a highly touted JUCO transfer. They feel like there's an embarrassment of riches at that position. And a lot of freshmen, Jalen Martin, a lot of people that are impressing in practice, but, you might really want to consider redshirting a lot of guys given what they have production-wise with experience.
Interesting. If you could pull off trades in college football, think Iowa State could send some receivers Iowa's way and Iowa could send some D linemen Iowa State's way?
Oh, no doubt about it. No doubt about it.
That'd be a match made in heaven right there, I think. With the optimism, with everything positively tracking in Ames right now, what would be the next step? Is it 6 wins? Is it a bowl game? Would the fan base be okay with 4 or 5 wins? What's your take on that?
I think there would be a feeling, certainly with 4 wins or below, that this team really underachieved. I don't think you'd have a whole lot of happy fans. I think you'd have a lot of unhappy coaches and players. I think they truly believe they're a team that can at least get to and win a bowl game. Now, not too many other people believe that. As we know, they're just above Kansas in the league. I know some Vegas odds have put their over-under at, like, I think Bovada, or they put it at 5.5. So certainly some people that kind of tend to know what's going on thinks they'll be in a position to knock on the door. But so I think at Iowa State, bristling at the question or despising the question about, Campbell never wants mediocrity to be the standard. But when you're coming from 3 wins, 2 wins, 3 wins, 3 wins, if you can get to that 6-win status, get to a decent, an okay ball, maybe win that bowl game, I think fans would be pretty pleased with that possibility. And I think it's on the table. A lot of things have to work out. The offensive line, Jake Campos is back, but is he healthy? I got some new guys. You got some, Julian Good-Jones was good, a guy out of Eastern Iowa, Bryce Meeker too. Robbie Garcia moving over from the D-line, where it didn't really work out for him. Just tons of question marks, as usual, for Iowa State. But a feeling that a lot of these guys look the part and certainly say all the right things, and judging by what coaches say, do all the right things in practice and quote-unquote when nobody else is looking.
Rob, I saw a piece where Matt Campbell extended offers to over 300 recruits, and obviously you only have less than 10% of that number to actually sign letters of intent. What's the philosophy there?
Well, I believe the number I saw was 388.
Yeah.
And it was like 60 more than the next. There were schools like Alabama, some others were over 200. I think someone on Twitter said, what's the acceptable line, given what it, I think they want their name to be in the conversation. They want their name to be on social media when players put out their top five or their top seven, knowing full well, of course, that they can't sign most of those guys, let alone get a commitment. But if their name is splashed out there next to occasionally Arkansas or next to occasionally Wisconsin or schools like that, then that's just more brand exposure for them. I guess it is an alarmingly high number, but those numbers have been tracking up for most everyone in recent years, and I think it's just a sign of the times. But you're right. I mean, to me, it's to get in as many living rooms as possible and hope that you can get that four-star kid that people that Iowa State maybe was resigned to not even going after before. Maybe you can make the right connection, and then because you've cast such a wide net, you're building a better class. At least their first few couple of classes have been improvements on the past, so something's working. But those are crazy numbers. I mean, when you look at just college football as a whole, but yeah, when you think of this handful of schools over 300 too, it kind of does boggle the mind a little bit.
I guess from a brand standpoint, it makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would agree with that. Before we leave football here, Rob, to get to six wins, I think the obvious is the Iowa game out there for Iowa State at Jack Trice in Ames early September to win. What are the other games you think Iowa State, can they pull off a Thursday nighter against the Texas Longhorns with about 2 weeks of preparation? Who are the other teams that Iowa State's going to have to beat to get to six?
Well, yeah, I think they could possibly do it still, even if they're not able to beat the Hawkeyes. But you have to beat UNI, and you have to beat them in a way that makes them feel good about themselves. It can't be they turn the ball over too much, or they stole it one because of turnovers, but UNI still ran the ball on them like crazy or something. Obviously, Akron. You got to beat Akron. You've got to beat Kansas. You know, Kansas State has been so long coming. I think the Wildcats are going to be really good again this year, but, you know, last year and year before, I mean, it's just – there have been some real bizarre and dispiriting games with Iowa State there. I'm not sure about them, but I'm sure Texas Tech remembers the 66-10 game last year. I think Iowa State's as good as Texas Tech, though. Maybe you can get Tech. Texas is definitely a possibility. I think they're still in transition, even though a lot of excitement with Tom Herman, former ISU OC in Ohio State, and, of course, we know what he did at Houston there. I'd say in conference you got to try to get Kansas. You got to try to get Texas Tech. I think I think what needs to happen is the return of the upset too. That game where they kind of not shock the world, but they raise a bunch of eyebrows. And maybe that is a Texas game if Texas is going well at the time, or Oklahoma State, and they've been so close against despite the Cowboys winning 10 or more games every year. It's hard to say exactly which games, but I would say if they really want to do it, they probably should look to go 3-0. They should look to upset the Hawks, which I guess the initial line before the season is, what, about a field goal? 3 to 5 points, something like that.
Yeah.
And then they got to get Kansas. They've got to get Texas Tech. And I would say get a splash game like in Oklahoma State and go from there. If they can have steam going into that conference schedule, I think that's when it becomes very interesting for them.
Hey, your colleagues at CycloneFanatic.com had a lot of fun, and I think readers appreciated it, too. It was called The Field of 64, Who's the Greatest Cyclone Basketball Player of All Time? And you're down to the finals in that, right?
I think it is, or it's just finishing up the Final Four. I was looking at it earlier, but Kirk Holland, a stats guru, helped put that together, and Jared Stansbury really helped as well, and they've had a lot of fun with that. Mostly a great reaction to that. Just tough matchups, right? Especially as you get to the Sweet 16 and beyond. But I think people did have a lot of fun with that, just kind of because it brings that history back to them too. Even as they're trying to make a tough choice between, you know, Jamal Tinsley and somebody else, you know. It seems to have been very well received, and thanks for mentioning it, Mark.
Yeah, you forget how many really great players. I mean, back in the day, Don Smith and Gary Thompson, and they didn't get a sniff of the semifinals. But right
Dean
now,
Utoff, don't forget about
Dean Utoff, Jeff Greer, and George Niang are the finalists right now.
Yeah,
pretty pretty good couple. And I think there's a little bit of recency bias maybe with George there. I mean, obviously one of the great all-time Cyclones, but to not see a Tinsley there and stuff like that, I don't know, it's a little different, or Pfizer and all that stuff, but it's it's fun. I mean, Grayer, incredible career, and George, they're having a reunion. Steve Pro put together a reunion they're doing tonight as well. I think 80, 90 former Cyclones, including Gary Thompson. George is going to be there. That's going on tonight. In fact, I'm on my way to some pre-festivities interviews, so a lot of fun to talk hoops and reminisce about that.
Hoiberg was decent, too.
Yeah, not a bad player. Gordon Meyer, just lots of Barry Stevens, and the list goes on.
A Fester Rhodes for one night.
If you can go with one game. Speaking of basketball, did you get to see much or any of the Cap City League this year?
I did not get to see much. That's kind of Jared's baby in the summertime. But I talked to enough about it. But they're thrilled with the development. Well, they knew what they were getting in incoming freshman Wendell Wigginton. But he looks like a point guard that can do so many things. He's physically mature as a true freshman. He's explosive. He got up and blocked him, but he shot in the lane. They're really high on him. Terrence Lewis coming in. Got some interesting transfers as well. A lot of question marks with that team, but a decent core. Did Donovan Jackson hit the big shot to win at Fog Allen Fieldhouse? Big things expected out of him. He'll be able to be more creative with Wigginton at the point. Obviously lost a lot, but Wigginton was kind of the big takeaway. And what can Cameron Lark give them? A big guy, big athletic guy. Had some big games in the Cap City League that, in all those leagues, I'm sure primetime is the same. Not known for defense. You've got high schoolers sprinkled in. It's not like you're facing Big 12 or Big 10 competition, but a lot of, some eye-openers. But I'd say Wigginton's all-around game was probably the biggest takeaway, and how people are excited about that.
Well, Rob, enjoy the rest of the summer. Have fun tonight. Everyone's going to get better after about 2 or 3 hours, I have imagined.
Yeah.
So, and that's fine.
Absolutely.
Well, keep up the great work at Cyclone Fanatic, and we'll talk to you soon.
Hey, thanks, Scott and Mark. You guys take care.
All right. Rob Gray from CycloneFanatic.com joining us here on the Gym Class Friday edition here on KGYM. We will come back and we'll talk a little baseball, maybe a little football as well. And when we return at 3:41, it's the Gym Class Friday edition on KGYM.
It's time for some straight talk. Those big wireless companies love to dangle a low price in front of you.
That's all you see on TV these days, all their so-called great deals.
But then, out of nowhere, they hit you with these activation charges and mystery fees.
That's a line drive right to the family jewel.
There you go, and it's not over. Then they nail you with data overages every month.
Good luck walking those off.
That's why you should just switch to Straight Talk Wireless. They have all the best phones from top brands for a whole lot less every month, and without all the mystery fees and overages.
Okay, but what's the coverage like?
Straight Talk uses the exact same 4G LTE wireless networks that the big guys do.
Sounds like it might be time to switch to Straight Talk.
Best phones, best networks for a whole lot less.
And you don't have to wear a cup.
Unlimited plans start at $45 a month on America's largest, most dependable 4G LTE networks. Straight Talk Wireless. Only at Walmart. Savings may vary. A month equals 30 days. Please refer always to the latest terms and conditions of service at straighttalk.com.
How good is Quaker State Motor Oil? It's been called a leader in wear protection and the hardest working motor oil. Some say it works so hard it should carry a briefcase. Others call it so hard working that it could be your engine's employee of the month. The kind of hard work that puts in overtime hours and always responds to emails right away. But we just call it damn good oil. Head to Firestone Complete Auto Care for great savings on Quaker State.
When you're hiring for a growing business, you don't need lots of candidates. You need the right candidates. You need Indeed.com. With an algorithm that positions your job post where quality candidates are and screener questions that help you zero in on the best talent. Indeed.com, the site proven through an independent study to deliver 5 times more hires than any other. New users claim your $50 credit for a sponsored job at Indeed.com/credit. Indeed, the world's number one job site. Terms, conditions, and quality standards apply.
The Gym Class in the Gym. KGYM. Eastern Iowa Sports Talk Radio.
All right, thanks to Rob Gray for joining us. Coming up on Monday, we will talk with Mike Halas, who is spending the weekend at the Pro Football Hall of Fame in Canton, Ohio. Kurt Warner being inducted into the Pro Football Hall of Fame. He'll get his gold jacket coming up on Saturday night, and really looking forward to that. We will talk with Mike, and he, if Zach keeps going, and by the way, Mark, they are underway once again at Firestone.
They are indeed. Zach Johnson has three holes remaining. He is currently playing the 667-yard par 5, 16th. He had a 100-yard third shot, knocked it over the green, so he'll try to at least make par there. But he's 3-under for the day, minus 4 for the tournament, and just one stroke behind the leaders, Jimmy Walker and Thomas Peters.
Mike's plan is Sunday to go to Firestone, which is not too far away from Canton, Ohio, and maybe pick up Zach on Sunday.
Well, if he Zach maintains a position, that'd be a wise thing for Mike to do.
Yeah. 319-366-1600 here on a Friday edition of the Gym Class. We'll throw out our poll question one more time because it deals with Iowa Football Media Day, which is coming up tomorrow. We'll have full court press there. Alex and Todd and Kyle, I believe, all heading out there tomorrow.
Indeed. Emil's Hideaway poll question. What is Iowa's biggest concern heading into 2017, would it be special teams, finding a starting quarterback, depth at wide at the receiver position, replacing Desmond King, or adapting to a new offensive coordinator?
Go ahead and vote. KGYMradio.com. We mentioned baseball at the beginning of the program, and kind of an impromptu little discussion we can have right here. Mentioned that maybe we'll take your top of this category because we don't want to celebrate it or publicize it too much, but, you know, boys will be boys at times, and there are brawls in baseball. 9/10 of the brawls
are pillow fights.
Are pillow fights. They're lousy. They're lousy. This one was half lousy. 1993, was it, Mark?
1993. White Sox and Rangers.
24 years ago. Robin Ventura had the very, very bad idea.
Very ill-advised.
Of charging the mound against one express, Nolan Ryan. And Ryan won. Ventura, nothing. That's how it came out. It was a one-sided brawl, but it was, you know, it was a decent brawl as far as not the. And that's why I was kind of going, do we really want to, you know, say your favorites or the ones you remember out there? 319-366-1600.
As I remember, Ryan got Ventura into a headlock.
Yes, he did.
And a few punches later, Ventura
wasn't pretty. It wasn't pretty.
Yeah.
But he did get him
Ventura
into a
was 0 for 1 on that one, that's for sure.
Yes, he was. Yes, he was. And kind of made me think of some of the greatest baseball dust-ups.
Most memorable, yeah.
Of all time. Do you have one that jumps out at you?
I always remember Don Zimmer and Pedro Martinez.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, that
yep, Red Sox,
Martinez,
Yankees, I remember.
Threw him to the ground between home plate and the pitcher's mound. And
how can you throw Popeye down? Don Zimmer, one of the most lovable men in all of baseball during his time. How could you do that? There have been some good ones. I remember, and this was not, I just remember it. I didn't see it, but I've seen footage of it, etc. I remember Bert Campaneris winging the bat. And I think that was in a playoff game, as a matter of fact. Red Sox-Yankees in the playoffs, that was a pretty big dust-up as well. But that Campaneris one was one that was very scary, a very scary one. If you have one, love to hear from you. 319-366-1600 out there on the Jerry Ask Investment Services text line, or you can reach us via the phone lines as well.
How about the Reds and Cardinals from early 2010s, something like that?
Yeah, it wasn't too far back, and that was actually started probably the prior night before that game. Brandon Phillips got into it with some of the Cardinals. They were
Molina.
Calling him soft. And things got out of hand right away the next day, as far as that one is concerned. But that's one of the bigger recent baseball brouhahas that we have had.
Cubs and Sox have gotten into it.
I was going to bring that up. The old Barrett versus Pierzynski. Why is AJ Pierzynski in the middle of all this? Now, he was a White Sox player. He was a Twin. Can we just agree with the fact that if you had A.J. Pierzynski on your team, you loved him? And if you didn't have A.J. Pierzynski on your team,
absolutely,
you did not like him?
Instigator number one.
Did some great things in the playoffs, though. Thank you, A.J., on the way to the World Series for the Chicago White Sox. But, yeah, him and Michael Barrett going at it.
Yeah, 55-94 on the text line pointed that one out.
Yeah, and that's been over a decade ago. That happened. And then I went in and actually typed in the Google, you know, greatest baseball brawls.
Mm-hmm.
I will do it again here, Mark, because I want to get all the specifics in this one. Or best baseball brawls of all time. And the one that comes up is one that a lot of people probably don't remember or don't really recall, but it was back, and it's number one on most of the polls out there. August 12th, 1984, between the Atlanta Braves and the San Diego Padres at Old Fulton County Stadium. And they fought four times during the game. Pascal Perez hit San Diego's Allen Wiggins to lead off the game, and it was on after that. And Perez then began to swing his bat around. That's not good. Benches cleared in the fifth inning when Perez got hit again. Another fight started in the eighth. Fourth happened in the ninth inning. 11 players, both managers, Joe Torre of Atlanta.
Didn't the fans get involved, too?
Yes, fans were involved. The great Bob Horner, who was on the disabled list and up in the press box, who was hurt, also left the press box and went down. And there is YouTube video of it that takes about 3.5 minutes to go through. I believe it was just old footage from the Superstation. Back in the day when they used to show Atlanta Braves games, America's team. And I did revisit that back in 1984.
Didn't you see Ken Harrelson leaving the press box in a brawl? Maybe he did in 2006.
Why you gotta throw a hawk this thing, huh? Why you gotta throw the hawkeroo into this thing?
Cyclone Tim on the text line, A.J. Pierzynski is the Bill Lambert of baseball.
That's a good way to put it. That is a very good way to put it out there. Hey, I really think that Pierzynski, I think he's underrated myself. He helped baseball teams that he was on. Good bat, good left-handed bat, good clutch hitter.
Yeah.
I enjoyed the White Sox years that they had A.J. Pierzynski out there. I know you enjoyed him as a Minnesota Twin, Mark, out there.
As much as I could.
319-366-1600 if you'd like to weigh in out there.
You're falling down the leaderboard in the senior city amateur.
I figured I would be in the 20s when I was done, and I'm on my way.
Scott Unash currently tied for 12th, now 9 back of the leader.
That's okay.
Tim Ingwersen, 4 under par 67 today at Twin Pines. He just in, and he leads Jerry Johnson by 3 strokes. Jerry with a nice 1 under par 70. If you missed it earlier, Scott Unash with a 5 over par 76. One hole contributed much to that final score. But we're waiting Rick Swann's finish. He had a nice 39 on the front nine of Twin Pines. Very good for Rick. Hopefully he can bring it home.
Hope so. I think that'd be great if he could get that done out there. So more scores flying in here. I'm still 12 out of 28 right now. So
yeah.
Got to get in the top 20, though. It all comes down to Alice tomorrow. It'll all come down to Ellis tomorrow to get in that top 20. All right, we'll take a break, come back, and wrap things up here on this Friday edition of the Gym Class. Stay with us, more to come after this.
Dupaco is a local financial cooperative that gives back to its members, like me. Just for keeping and growing my savings and services with them, my share was $200. They call it thank yous. Extra money I use to spoil the grandkids. And it makes me feel like $1 million.
At a financial cooperative, members are owners. It's member participation that powers Dupaco Community Credit Union. Thank yous is money in your pocket for your participation in the credit union through saving, borrowing, and spending. Last year, Dupaco members shared in more than $2.85 million in thank yous. How will you use yours?
Get a gym membership.
Go to the movies.
Donate it to charity.
Pay down my student loan.
Add to my retirement savings.
Buy that purse I just saw.
Learn more at dupaco.com/thank yous. Participate, cooperate, accumulate. The more you use Dupaco, the more you're thanked. Equal housing opportunity, federally insured by NCUA.
Come play the Wednesday game at St. Andrews Golf Club and pay no green fees. Shotgun tee off is at 1. The cost is just $30. Individual and team play will be chosen randomly. And since there are no green fees, all the cash goes to prizes, meaning you get 100% of your money back. No green fees. No more excuses. Come play the Wednesday game at St. Andrews Golf Club. Sign up in the clubhouse before 12:30 or call that morning, 393-9915.
Two guys who may have faces made for radio. Scott Unash and Mark Dukes. The Gym Class. KGYM.
Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn coming up next here in KGYM. Iowa Media Day coming up tomorrow. UNI's was Wednesday. Iowa State yesterday on Thursday. Iowa coming up tomorrow down in Iowa City. We bring in Kyle Mann, our producer here, because he will be down there along with Alex and Todd. And what are you looking forward to tomorrow?
This is going to be the first time that I'll be in close proximity to Brian Ferentz, and I'm really interested to hear him talk. I don't expect him to tell us anything, you know, groundbreaking schematically or anything like that. But I hope that he'll maybe suggest that he's going to make a concerted effort to get a little bit more modern. I don't expect him to say we're not running the ball anymore or anything like that, obviously. But I just want him to give me reason to think that the Hawkeyes might open things up a little bit in the passing game.
Well, if I was there, and I was there when it was press day and not media day, but I want to talk to these graduate transfers. And that kind of gets to one of the options in the poll question, depth of wide receiver. And I want to talk to the kid, Qualls, isn't it?
Yep.
And his experience in Nevada and how he thinks he might be able to help the Hawks.
Oh, the running back from Nevada, Butler. Well, James Butler.
Yeah, the wide receivers from New Mexico.
New Mexico, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
But I wasn't really even thinking about that because I've talked about this with Alex Kuhn a little bit. I'm interested to see, like, those are two offensive players that chose to come to Iowa for their last couple years of eligibility, and I want to know why. You know, like, what did Ferentz and co, what did they tell them that actually made our offense seem appealing here in Iowa, or the Iowa offense seem appealing? That seems totally obscure and counterintuitive to me.
A lot of things to talk about. A lot of question marks on this Iowa football team. And Wyoming is going to be a tough opponent coming out of the chute on September the 2nd. Not going to be easy, so it'll be fun. And have a good time down there tomorrow. Make sure they behave, okay, will you?
Oh, of course.
you got plenty of experience in Chicago.
Yeah, there you go. You did a good job there.
Thanks.
Herding cats and things like that, so... All right, Mark, we will see you on Monday. Mike Halas will join us, and we'll talk to you at that time. He'll have a pretty memorable weekend.
Yes, he will. Everybody have a great weekend.
All right, that's going to wrap things up here on the Gym Class. We'll talk to you Monday at 3. Stay tuned. Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn. That is coming your way next, right here on KGYM. Have a great weekend, everybody.
What you doing?
Ran out of space on my phone, so I'm deleting some stuff. Bye, singing dog. Bye, goal.
I pronounce you.
Bye, wedding ceremony.
Stop. At Metro PCS, you get 2 free phones with twice as much memory.
Really?
Don't say bye to your memories. Switch to Metro PCS and get 2 free.